Got a question for you. Where do you go when you're bummed out? And just think about it. Don't need to yell out any answers, but I would like for you to think in your heart, where do I go when I'm bummed out, when things are not going my way, when stuff happens and I'm frustrated and I don't know what to do and I got to go somewhere, I got to see somebody. I don't want to go down to the local bar, obviously. Most of my friends probably can't help me. But, you know, where do we go? Where do we go? Well, obviously we seek somebody, something that can really help us. And we go to a place or a person. And in athletics, there's a situation where if the team is down and out and they're not quite there yet to win the game, they go to somebody they can depend on, don't they? They call it a go-to person. We got a go-to person. And you probably heard about this if you've watched any sports on TV, where if a team's down by a few points and the announcer says, oh, I bet the quarterback is going to number 85. He's their dependable player. He's their go-to player, right? And so sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. And I know when I was playing basketball for the Marine Corps team up here at Camp Pendleton, we had a staff sergeant, Quincy was his name, and he was the character. And he was our guard, our point guard. But he was our go-to guy. If we needed some encouragement or if we were down by a few points, let's get him the ball. And I remember one game, and of course in sports you play so many games, but you do remember a few of them. And this one I remember, we were playing the Hawaii Marine Corps team at the time, and we were, it was nip and tuck, back and forth, just real close. We were down 1 point. With a few seconds to go, we had the ball. So who did we get it to?
Quincy.
You know, Quincy drove and got fouled. So he had 2 shots, we're 1 down. And what happened? He made both of them. We won the game. And so I want you to think about this tonight, and I want you to think of it as a believer perspective, okay? Who do we go to when, as believers, when we're down and out or things are not going our way or we're confronted with situations that are holding us back? Who do we go to? Now you can answer. Yeah, the Heavenly Father, don't we? And we go to His Word as well, because God's Word is as much God as God is God, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. His Word is, He's magnified above all His name. So we go to the Word. We go to the Scriptures. And tonight I want to share with you, what are your go-to Scriptures? Think about it. What are your go-to Scriptures? You know, if we're down and out, maybe we think of Romans chapter 8, we're more than conquerors, right? Yeah. Or maybe if we're physically challenged, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and what? Be in health. Be in health. You know, we just can't get things done. We need some help. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Amen. So these are real things. These are real sources that will make us successful. And by using God's Word, going to God's Word, we can get over the situation. We can overcome whatever tragedy maybe is confronting us. Whatever we need, God will supply. And I want to show you a few examples in the Bible here. And why don't you go to Psalms, the book of Psalms. in the book of Psalms, we know that for the most part, David had his hand in writing these as he was inspired by God. And in 54, Psalm 54, let's take a look at this. And this is during the time where King Saul was seeking David out to kill him, really, right? To get rid of him. So David's on the run. And David's, you know, doesn't have a lot to look forward to with King Saul chasing him. So let's see what it says here in Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me. The oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Shelah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and my eyes have seen his desire upon mine enemies. You know, that's great, huh? Great attitude. Let's go to 56. And this is when he was dealing with the Philistines. So 56, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. I want to take a moment to identify this one word, rest. What's that mean? W-R-E-S-T. Every day they rest my words. Twisting. And it's kind of a more of an old English term, but it does mean twisting or diverting from the natural use. And really, it's where we get the word wrestling from. So the words are twisted, but all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul. You know, not in a good situation, is he? Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. Isn't that a great section there? Mm-hmm. You know, David had some troubled times, but where did he go? Who was his go-to person?
God
Almighty. God Almighty. And boy, the word really reflects that. But what about in Acts? There's another couple guys that got into the soup and could have really stressed out. So in Acts chapter 16, we'll take a look at Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas moving the word. And they had a situation with this woman who they delivered the spirit out of. And in verse 19, 16, 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Wow. Now, I mean, you could make a movie on this, right? And of course, right now we have an advertisement up on the screen, right? Because it's a desperate situation. They're thrown in the deepest part of the dungeon here, and the feet are secured down, and then they break for an ad. Now we're back. All right, so what do they do in this situation? Well, what did Paul and Silas do in this desperate... Yeah, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have had that mindset to start singing praise songs. I would be probably begging songs. But they did. They knew they had a God that could deliver them. And they sang praises unto him, and they prayed. And what happened? Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He knew if he lost any prisoners, they would kill him, execute him. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Wow, what a story, huh? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, right? The word of the Lord unto all that were in his house. That's what makes the difference, speaking the words. We heard that in the manifestations. God really encouraged us to speak his words, didn't he? So, you and I, as sons of God, have the privilege, no matter what's going on in our life, we have a go-to person, don't we? We have the Word of God to go to. We got our Heavenly Father to go to. There's a section I'd like to share with you that, for me personally, if things get just so heavy and you just get down, 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 this section here really gets me up and out. And I'd like to share it with you in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So let's go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. In this first chapter of this epistle, the second epistle to the Corinthians, and we'll start here, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Wow. There's a word in there that just goes over and over again, huh? And it's a Greek word, paraklesis, and it's translated comfort, That same word is also translated, and we're going to read the rest of these verses here, consolation. Really, this means encouraged, okay? Really encouraged, the God of all encouragement. He really encourages us. Yes, he comforts us, but with great encouragement. So verse what, 5? For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, your encouragement, and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, no matter what was going on in their life, they were thinking about those who they served. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of what? Consolation, the encouragement. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. I mean, they were so dedicated, so convinced of God's working in their lives that if they died, God, they believed God would raise them up. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that we will yet, that he will yet deliver us. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, this was a situation that occurred, and this is how they dealt with it. And they knew that the God of all comfort would take care of them. Now, let's look at a few more verses here, because there's some great principle in here. Verse 11, you also, helping together by what?
Prayer.
You know, we get into situations where people come to us and need help, and they're going to us. What, you know, how can we help them? Well, you know, a lot of times we say, well, we'll pray for you. And some people think, well, that's just a little easy out. I'll pray for you. But I tell you what, spiritually, that's the best thing we can do for people. That's what they did here. That's what they did here. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and in godly sincerity. Now, simplicity here is the word that is translated, really means guilelessness, or without guile. You know, guile is having another agenda for something, doing something that you look like you're helping somebody, but you have another agenda for it. But see, our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, how we think in the depth of our heart, that in guilelessness, we didn't have this kind of thinking, and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. Isn't that a great verse there? What a great attitude of mind to have. And for us, as we live life and deal with situations, that we have a Heavenly Father, the God of all comfort, to go to. And we have brethren that will pray for us, which really is significant. And that we can minister one to another. And we can have that godly sincerity, that honesty. that in this world that we live in, that by the grace of God, we can see our deliverance. So, pretty neat, huh? And so, what I want to encourage you tonight, and this is your homework for next week, is to think about your go-to scriptures. Think about, well, what if I, you know, things hit my heart and mind, what are the scriptures that will really help my mind believe God to get over whatever situation confronts me? And so I want you to do this, and then next week at fellowship, you'll have the opportunity to share your go-to scripture, okay? And I think what would be neat is if you've had a situation where you had a go-to scripture and something happened and you believed God, you used the scripture, and you saw the results. Testimony, that would be good. I'll share a testimony with you and kind of give you an example of what I'm thinking about as far as sharing on go-to scriptures that you can use. A number of years ago, I got a phone call, and there was a girl on the other end, and she was upset, and she was really hurt, and she was crying, and she says, "I need you to help me. I've got devil spirits. Keep me up all night long." And she was distraught. And I'm going, whoa, you know, what can I do here? And of course, you know, one thing I think we all do when we're confronted with situations, we start speaking in tongues, huh? I hope we engage the Spirit of God that we have in us. We engage that Spirit that we have in us and ask God, what should I do? And God, many times when he speaks to us, he speaks to us through his word. He'll give you a scripture. And if you've got scriptures that you've been working, your go-to scriptures, I bet he'll pop the one you need to hear up into your mind. And in this situation here, I needed to get her to think about going to the word, believing the word. So Hebrews 4:12. What's Hebrews 4:12? For the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper. Sword, yeah. And so I shared that with her, and then verse 16 talks about come boldly from the throne of grace. So we prayed, I shared the scriptures with her, and she kind of settled down a little bit, and I said, "Listen, you're in your bedroom there." You know, it was late at night when she called. And so I said, "Just put your head down and listen." And I shared some scriptures out of Ephesians 1:18, in that first chapter there, where about the power of God in that we have in that raised God, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We have that power in us. And we have a name that's above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. And so I shared this, and I listened, and I didn't hear anything. I said, "What do you think of that?" Didn't hear anything. And then I heard a... She fell asleep. Okay. And that was the best sound I could hear. So God's word gets results, doesn't it? That we got to have those go-to scriptures that God will work with us so that we can minister to our brothers and sisters and to anybody else that needs to be delivered, huh? Okay, so that's your assignment next week. I'm not going to be talking much. You're going to be doing all the talking, sharing your testimonies or examples or scriptures that really help you deal with challenges that you might have. And you folks on the conference call line, I'd be blessed for you to participate too. you want to let me know that you would like to share, send me a note. It'd be great to have some of you share as well. Okay? All right. God bless you guys.